Today I've come to the Museum of London to talk to Meriel Jeter. Hello, Meriel.
Hello.
What's your role here?
I'm a curator in the Department of Archaeological Collections and Archive.
Fantastic. I come to the right person then. As you know, as I said to you in my email to you, I'm in search of King Alfred, and I know that you've got a very famous King Alfred coin, and you've got a whole section on the Anglo-Saxons, of which King Alfred was. We're standing by a timeline here in just one tiny little part of your wonderful museum. Can you take me through what you've got on the Anglo-Saxons, and then we'll have a little discussion about what else you've got at the museum?
Sure, okay. Well, the Anglo-Saxon period for us starts in about 410 with the end of the Roman rule of
right.
Britain. And then gradually you get more and more people coming over from North Germany and Denmark, who we now call the Anglo-Saxons, who settled here.
They'd be the Angles, the Jutes, the Saxons.
Exactly, yeah. Who settled around in the London area as well as other places in Britain. And we find them in sort of what we would now think of as of suburbs of London, so places like Hanwell and Hammersmith.
Now, you've got a map somewhere. You
yes.
did show me. Where's the map gone? Oh, here we go. Coming into another section here. I mean, it's a fabulous whole museum. It's fabulous because you've got all these sort of different exhibits, and it's all very well explained, everything we've got. And we've got what looks like a maple leaf, to be honest with you, plan of London. And presumably, is this Greater London as it is now?
Yes,
is
so this is the outline of Greater London.
Right.
And you've got a little red outline in the centre, which is the ancient Roman city of Londinium. And that was deserted. So nobody in the
And earth. The little red section that you're pointing to there sort of signifies where the London Wall was, with the walled city of Londinium that was set up by the Romans.
Exactly, yeah.
And now some, several hundred years in the period of the Anglo-Saxons, I suppose, it's hundreds of years are passing.
Yes, exactly. So in the initial Anglo-Saxon period, you've just got some little scatters of settlements in the suburbs of London, so places like Croydon, Mitcham, Hanwell, Hammersmith. And a lot of the evidence that we have for people living here are the cemetery sites that have been excavated.
Right.
And in this case over here, you've got some of the objects that have been found in these Anglo-Saxon suburban cemeteries. So beautiful gilded copper alloy brooches, swords, shield bosses.
And I mean, you know, looking at the swords, and they look like long rusted swords, of course, but I guess, you know, for the time period that we're going back to, they're in remarkable condition.
Exactly, yeah. I mean, iron is one of those things that tends to rust very easily,
yes.
So you often get them in quite poor condition. But some of the other grave goods are in really good condition, like this glass vessel here, which is basically like a glass cone. And it had no way of being supported when it was in use. So we assume that whatever you had to drink out of it, you had to down it in one.
Oh, right, yeah, because it's a conical shape with a, I guess, is that a sort of circular base at the bottom?
Oh, we've added that on so that it stands upright.
No. So I meant the actual base of it is, it, because it goes down to about almost a centimetre, and at the top it's about, I don't know, 5 centimetres across.
Yep.
As you say, you wouldn't be able to put that down because it would just topple over. You'd have to store them upside down.
Yeah.
Because it's like a giant ice cream cone.
Yes.
So I'm just trying to describe it for the listeners. But if that was complete, and there's a little bit missing from it, but if that was complete and you saw it, you just would not think that that was an Anglo-Saxon thing. I mean, I'm actually quite surprised to see that. That they had and had the ability. That's glass, isn't it?
Yes, yeah. I mean, it's one of my favourite objects in the gallery because it's so beautiful and it's got this lovely trailed design as well.
Yeah, so not only is it glass, but they've been able to sort of design onto it.
Yeah, yeah. So I mean, this is a kind of gives you a taste of what Anglo-Saxon life might have been like in that this must have been used for feasting.
Yeah, and because, again, it's such a long time and these are rare finds in their day. There may have been hundreds and thousands of these things, which, you know, they may have thrown to one side because they couldn't store them. And so a lot was lost just as we break glasses down the pub.
Yeah, I mean, this is so delicate. I imagine it'd be quite easy to break.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we're fortunate that it was buried with somebody in their grave, which means as it's lower in the ground, it's more likely to survive into
And what do you
times.
Suppose they would have been drinking out of that?
Probably ale, I would have thought.
Excellent. Can't be a nice ale. And what have you got down here? These spearheads?
Yep, we've got spearheads, and we've also got pottery, which often contained food remains.
Oh, so wow. So you can see what they were eating.
Yes.
So what kind of food remains have you found?
I'm not sure if any of these have actually been analysed for what was inside them, but often you get sort of remains of porridge oats and wheat and all sorts of other things inside, stews and so on.
Gosh.
So you're being buried with the things that you need to take with you to whatever afterlife.
Yeah. Imagine if you had to do that these days. Coffins wouldn't be big enough, would you? Well, unless, you know, you're buried with your iPods and things. No, but I'm just, you know, just thinking comparably.
Yes.
It would be interesting if you were, because in 1,000 years' time, somebody digs you up and they say, well, what is this white plastic thing, or what's left of it?
Yeah, that would be very interesting.
It's interesting, yeah. So, now, you've taken me to another cabinet here, and we've got these great big donut objects, which, when you first showed them to me, I was really quite perplexed as to what they were. Just describe again what they are.
Yeah, they're sort of big clay donuts, and they were actually weights for looms, so they kept the tension on the wool, the downward threads of the wool, so that you could weave cloth.
And principally, what was the textile that they were using back then in the Anglo-Saxon period?
They would have been weaving wool.
Wool, yeah.
So wool cloth's been a key English export for many years, so...
And we, finest, I mean, we had the finest wool, if my reading on the subject is right.
Yes,
and
yeah.
People were coveting getting the English wool from our dear sheep.
For hundreds of years, yes.
And so there was a lot of textiles in London, and I suppose because it is next to the Thames and it was a perfect place to ship it away?
Exactly, yeah. I mean, that's the thing. The interesting thing about London is that archaeologists always assumed that the Anglo-Saxons would reoccupy the ancient Roman city and carry on from there. But they don't. What you get in the archaeological record is a big empty layer of what we call dark earth. And so for years archaeologists was wondering, where on earth is Saxon London?
Oh, right.
But then in the 1980s, during excavations in the Covent Garden area, they discovered Anglo-Saxon
London. As recent as the 1980s?
Yeah, so these are really recent discoveries. And it was a place, what Bede calls an emporium, called Londonwich. And these funny donuts for the weaving were found on the excavations of Londonwich. So this would have been a very vibrant port where they're making lots of different products.
Yes.
Very wealthy place, lots of people living there. And one of the signs of wealth is this beautiful gold brooch here, which is from Floral Street. And it's covered in garnets. It's very stunning. It's another one of my favourite items in the gallery.
So we're looking at a brooch that is about 4 or 5 inches diameter across, with a star shape in the middle, but lots of, well, four miniature circles with sparkling gems. Do you know what they are?
These are garnets.
Garnets, okay. Yeah. And then you've got something in the middle there, which is a black-looking...
Oh, that's a garnet as well. It's just degraded
right.
Quite a lot. So this brooch is made out of copper alloy, but it's got gold on top of it, and all the green that you can see is the corroded copper alloy sort of coming through.
Presumably these items are not like we would go into a jeweller's and just buy something off the shelf. These are made specifically for the person, do you think?
Or? I would have thought, yeah. So. I mean, the lady who would have worn this was found in a grave of a woman, would have been a very wealthy person, and the style of it is generally found in Kent, so perhaps she was a Kentish lady who happened to come to London and unfortunately died here. And yeah, this is an immense display of her wealth.